Bibles and books and all that. And he came and I think he was driving a little truck, wasn't you? Was that it at that time? And he about had more boxes and books than he had trucks. So I had them in the front seat with him, and then in the back of it is loaded. And I mean, it was just kind of full. So we appreciate those of you that are able to help. And if you would, just begin to bring those things again. And like he said, some of you probably got extra Bibles, extra material around your house that, it's useful or has been used, and you'd like to pass it on to somebody. Well, these young guys, these young preachers, be glad to have some material, some information that you can help them with. Amen? So if you will do that, the Lord will bless you, and you continue to pray and ask the Lord to bless this ministry. All right? All right, I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning, if you will. And we're going to be looking and still thinking about this idea of are you connected? And I want you to look in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We are still thinking, as I say, about this idea of being connected to the Lord and His work and His doings in a different number of ways. And you find those, obviously, through the different parts of the Scripture. There are a lot of things that we can see that connect us and that should connect us to the Lord. So look in chapter number 16, and probably some very familiar Scripture to you. Chapter number 16, you begin in verse number 13, where Jesus has taken His disciples apart from all of the hubbub and all of the problems and talk and issues that have come up against them. But in verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who can say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you again for blessing us. Thank you for the good songs and time of fellowship. And thank you for Brother Phil coming this morning and sharing his burden and his heart. Would you just bless us as your people and help us to see the things that you want us to do. And Lord, help us to see you through the Scriptures. Help us to just rely on you and be found doing your will, your purposes here this morning. We'll thank you again for everything that you do. And I pray again, if there's somebody here today lost without Christ Jesus, save them, show them their need of salvation and salvation alone through you. And again, we'll just praise you for all that you've done in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As I said, I want you to look at that this morning, and let's think about, again, the idea of are you connected? And this morning, just with this thought in mind, I want you to think about this. Are you connected by seeing Jesus as who He really is? Are you connected? Are you connected to this thing that many call religion and many call church? And, you know, it's got all kinds of names. But I'm saying, are you connected to Christ this morning? Are you connected to Him by seeing Him as who He really is? I mean, is that what you want to do? There's a lot of folks that are content with being a part of a church organization or being a part of a denominational group. Oh, I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a this and that, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of folks that are satisfied with that. But I'm telling you, more than anything today, I believe we ought to be connected to Jesus Christ and Him as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And that's what I want you to get out of this. Now, I know Jesus here talks about the church, and we probably talk about that one day, about being connected through the church. But right now, we're getting connected through really seeing Jesus as who He is. When you hear this story and you begin to relate to it, you understand that that's how it starts out. Jesus is talking to His disciples, And he asked them, who do men say that I am? And, you know, they give him all of these answers. And then he looks at them and he says, but who do you say that I am? And then the story goes from there. So let's just see that and let's see if we're really connected to Jesus. The most important thing you can be today is connected to Jesus. Amen. I'm glad you're a member of Old Bethel Baptist Church if you are. I'm glad you're a Baptist if you are. I'm glad that you're doing something and identifying with the Lord and, you know, and His church. I'm glad of every bit of that. But I'm telling you, we ought to be first and foremost connected to the Lord Himself. You know, we've talked about this on some other occasion, how that Jesus said over in John 14, 15, 16, he gives talk to his disciples as they're even on the way for him to go to the garden, and he tells them, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and without me you can do nothing. We've got to be connected to him. Amen? So let's look at these few verses this morning. Think about a few things, if you will. And, you know, when you really see Jesus for who he is, you clearly see him, there are some other things that will become more clear to you. First of all, I want you to realize this. When these things become clear to you, you won't see Jesus as the unbelievers do. You won't see Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says here. Here's Jesus talking to his disciples, and he asks his disciples in verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus says, I want you guys to tell me what the public opinion of me is. I want you to tell me. Tell me what people and who people say that they think that I am. And you know, maybe sometimes you and I like to play that game. And this is not a game, obviously, but you and I like, you know, what do people think about us? Or what do people think about, you know, what we represent or what we do or our church or whatever it is you may have. But Jesus is not just, as I say, playing a game. He is driving home a point, an important point, for these men that are there around him. But he begins by asking that question, by saying, you know, who do people, who are those that are really not believers? I mean, listen, there's a lot of folks that said a lot of things about Jesus, but it didn't help them to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And you know, you got a lot of folks today, oh, well, yeah, I go to church and I'm a member of a church and I believe that Bible and all that kind of stuff that people say. Yeah, but are you connected, really connected to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen? That's the important part. So the unbelievers, look what they say. These unbelievers, when he said, who do men say? Some say thou art John the Baptist. There's a lot of folks in that day that thought that Jesus was a reincarnation of John after that he had died. They knew somewhere in their minds the Bible said something about God sending somebody to be a forerunner, and then he's going to send another person, and they were going to do this, and they were going to be great and mighty and do some miraculous thing. And they said, well, some of them say you're John the Baptist. And they said that some said that you were Elijah. That word Elias in the New Testament is Elijah in the Old Testament. And they said, some of them say you're the prophet Elijah. Do you know that the Jews still to this day, when they celebrate some feast, that they set a plate at the table for Elijah because symbolically they're looking for Elijah to come back before the Messiah comes? They're still doing that today. They're looking for him. They're praying, saying, God, send Elijah. And some of those people in that time, they thought, well, this is Elijah. And there's some of them that said he was Jeremiah the weeping prophet, because of the way that Jesus stood and preached, and there wasn't a whole lot of folks that were turning from their ways of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other religious group, turning to him. There were some that said he was like Jeremiah. Or some of them said he's like some of the other prophets. They had some of these things around. But don't you notice this? This is what those folks thought, as people do today. There's a lot of folks that see Jesus as a good person, but they don't see him as a very God. They say, oh, he's a very good person. Oh, we believe. How many people have you heard? I've heard people personally tell me, oh, I believe Jesus was a good man. Brother, I want to tell you something. He was more than a good man. He was the best, if we're measuring men, he was the best man that there ever was. But I want to tell you, He is the very God of heaven. Amen? I know that a lot of folks don't believe that today. That's their business. They'll have to stand before God and answer for that. But I'm telling you, Jesus is very God. Amen? That's Him. And there's a lot of folks that say that. Oh, well, we see He's very good, but they don't see Him as very God. There's some folks that see Him as a moral man, but they do not see Him as the Messiah. Again, there's folks that say, well, we believe Jesus did right and taught right and acted right and lived right and was right in front of everybody. Oh, and he was teaching us some moral, ethical, and things that we ought to learn and we ought to live by and some good lessons. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that bring up and say, well, you know, Jesus taught that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus was every bit of that, but it was because He was God. And He is the Messiah for this world. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. They understood the Old Testament prophecies. There was hundreds of them in the Old Testament. Prophetic words that said that a Messiah was coming. And they were looking for Him. They just weren't looking for Him the way that Jesus was coming. And there's folks today say, oh, well, you know, God's going to do something. God's going to do this. God's going to do and but, hey, Jesus has already been here. And salvation is still free to those that will come and ask for it and believe in Him and find Him by the grace of God. Amen? So there's some that see Him as a mortal man, a moral fellow that did good and always was right and all those things, but they never saw Him as the Messiah. There's some of them like these that see Him as a religious prophet, but never see Him as our righteousness and the Prince of our peace. They have yet to see Him. Oh, well, we think He was a prophet like Jeremiah. We think He's a prophet like Elijah. We think He was a fellow of high and great standards. And as a matter of fact, a prophet in the Old Testament was a person that spoke for God to mankind. The priest spoke to God for men, but the prophet spoke from God to man. And they said, oh, well, we believe that Jesus, we think that this is who. I'll tell you something. The unbelievers believe some things, but you and I have got to go a step and a way above those things that they believe. We've got to have our minds made up as to who Jesus is. So I'm saying, first of all, you don't need to see Him as the unbelieving world. I mean, as I said, the Bible will tell you that the devils believe in the Lord. Amen? I mean, you and I can understand. Here are this man that's possessed of all these demons. There is the maniac of Gadara, we call him. And Jesus goes over to the other side of the waters to go and be where he is over in the country of the Gadarenes. And this man confronts it, and he falls down before him. He said, thou Son of God. He said, why have you come to trouble us before our time? The devils saw him. The devils believed. The devils knew who he was. But that don't make them save devils. Amen? What I'm saying is there's a lot of folks that do a lot of talking in this world, but it does not make them possessors of salvation. But I want you to notice. Now, as I say, don't be thinking like that, and you won't see Him when you see Him real clearly. You've got to get connected, and you've got to see Jesus for who He really is. You won't see Him as this unbelieving world does. But second of all, you will see Him as the unique one that He really is. Amen? Listen to what Peter said. Now, Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? And the men begin to answer Him. His disciples begin to answer Him. And they say, you know, John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. That's the answer right there. Can I tell you, that's the answer. But I want you to understand something. You see there in verse number 15, that's the greatest question that you'll ever be posed in your life is, whom say ye that I am? What do you have to say about who Jesus is. When you get to heaven one day and stand before God, and God looks at you and says, I want to ask you a question. Why should I let you come in to my presence in heaven? Why should you be able to enter into these glories? And listen, there'll be people who say, well, do you know what I did? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I possessed? Do you know my good deeds? Can I tell you, every one of those are wrong answers. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we know, none of that will impress God one day. He doesn't care where you went to school. He doesn't care what your bank account says. He don't care what your street address is. God doesn't care about any of those things. The only thing He wants to know is, who do you say that Jesus is? Whom say ye that I am? Amen? That's the most important question you'll ever be posed with in your life. Who do you say? Jesus said on another occasion, they're talking to Jesus, the religious folks, and they're talking about the Christ coming, the Messiah, and all that. And Jesus says this, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about Jesus? I'm telling you, those are some important questions in this world, because those answers will determine where you're going in the next world. You're going somewhere. You'll appear somewhere. Brother, it'll be heaven or it will be hell. And that's the only two choices you got. Amen. Can I tell you, there is no other in between. There is no fence straddling. There is no, well, maybe limbo or a purgatory or one of those crazy things that people want to make up. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's your two choices. That's it. Amen. Somebody said smoking or non-smoking. Amen. I don't know which way you're going. But brother, I'm telling you, the important question here is, what do you think? What's on your list or your thinking? Whom say ye that I am? Boy, I want you to notice, hey, you see that? You better see him, that there's the correct answer that is given by Peter. Peter looks and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, that's the right answer right there, isn't it? I'm telling you, friend, you've got to see him, and you've got to see him correctly. You and I need to see him as the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Amen? You remember what John said there in John chapter number 1, John the Baptist? He is baptizing, he is preaching, but he is preaching, there is somebody coming after me, and his shoelaces, I'm not worthy to bow down and tie or nor untie. He's somewhere way above who I am. And brother, when he's walking out there one day, and he has some of his disciples with him, he sees Jesus walking along by the Sea of Galilee, and he points at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Right. Well, you're going to have to see Jesus as the Lamb of God. You have to see Jesus as the Lamb of God. I mean, he is the supreme sacrifice that came, that was given from God in heaven above. He was the one that came that was without sin. He came to be the perfect Lamb. And Isaiah 53, when he begins to describe who he is, hey, Isaiah says that he was as a sheep dumb before his shearers, that he opened not his mouth, that he gave his life, that he was beaten for me and you, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that by his stripes we're healed, that he came and he laid down his life for me and for you. And that's who he is. Amen. You've got to see him as the Lamb of God. He's the sacrificial Lamb that God placed on that altar and let him die for our sins. Brother, I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, you read that story over in Exodus chapter number 12 where the children of Israel have got to do something because of what's about to happen in the land of Egypt. And God said, everybody get them a lamb. Everybody get their lamb. He said, get your lamb, and you're to put it up for so many days. And then after those days, you're to take that lamb on a certain day of the month. You're to cut its throat. You're to let the blood out. And then when you get that blood, you're to take that blood of your lamb, that blood of the lamb, that blood of the only lamb that's going to help you, dip it in hyssop and put it on the post of your door and put it over the top on the side. And when I pass over, hey, I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It takes a blood sacrifice to get the job done. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for me and for you. He's the Lamb of God that was sacrificed. Well, the Bible says he was sacrificed, chosen by God before the foundation of this world. Amen. I'm telling you, he was the one that came and he took our sin. It said, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's the Lamb of God. He's my Lamb. He's your Lamb. He's everybody that's ever been born's Lamb. He came to redeem us from our sins. He came to be that sacrificial Lamb. He came to be that Lamb without sin. That sin was placed on. But he came to be that Lamb that was a substitute for every one of us. He took your place. Jesus took your place. He died on that cross for you. He died for me. He died for us all. And you've got to see him in that particular way. You've got to understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God that took your place on Calvary Street. Every one of us in this room today to deserve to die the death that Jesus died. The most horrible, the most terrible kind of way to die in the day that he lived, and probably even in today's society too, it would be hard. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'll go. Why? Because he loved us that much. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, we're studying on that on Wednesday night, about over in the book of Titus, and how we got into that, what we used to be, but now what we are when God stepped in with that little conjunction, but God. Amen? And Titus, it says, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior, when all of that stepped in, thank God, we found ourselves forgiven of our sin. Amen? So let me tell you, you've got to have this perfect view. You've got to see him as a unique one that he really... He is a unique person. Nobody else has ever done this. Nobody else ever will do this. It will never be duplicated. Jesus is the Lamb of God. But not only that, don't you know this? Hey, he'll never be duplicated in this. You've got to see him as the Lamb of God. You've got to see him as the Lord of glory. Amen. I mean, the Lord of glory. You've got to see him as somebody that's above the angels. Now, listen, if you got to be around here Tuesday, Brother Tyler preached on those angels. And those angels, man, that's a pretty important class of created beings that God has in heaven and what they do and what they're made for and all of that. I'm telling you, that's exciting to hear about that, right? But I'm telling you, hey, Jesus said that he was above all of those angelic beings. That he was made a little lower than the angels for a while. But thank God, when he came out of that grave, when he ascended back to heaven, he's far above any angelic being that's ever been created because he is the Lord of glory. Amen. Angels bow. Angels give a blessing and praise toward him. Can I tell you, thank God he is the Lord of glory. And you've got to see him as that. He's above the angels. He's above any priest or prophet that there's ever been. He's above wealth or fame or fortune in this life. He's above the treasures of this world. Jesus is above every one of those things. Praise God, aren't you glad that Jesus is the Lord of glory? He's the one that redeemed us. Let me just read you that over in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 1. The writer in Hebrews begins to tell us a little bit about this. But listen to what he says. Verse number 1 of chapter number 1. He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Listen to what he said beyond that. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a name more excellent than they. Can I tell you, Jesus is the Lord of glory. Amen? I know I've told y'all this a lot of times, but y'all remember the only thing that you'll never find in the temple worship place when God gave them all the implements and all the instruments of the temple to worship? You know what you didn't find? You never found a chair there that God said, make tables and make censers and make incense and make, you know, all that stuff. There was many, many things that there was not a chair made. You know why? Because the priest's work was never done. But can I tell you, when the Lord of glory came down as the Lamb of God, hey, He gave His life for our sin death. And when He got through, the Bible said He went up to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. How could He do that? Because the work was done forever. Amen. Jesus completed the task, and He's the only priest that's ever been able to take a seat. Why? Because He don't need to die again. His blood does not need to be shed at another time. For my sins, He's already paid that debt. And, buddy, all you got to do, as I said, is you've got to see Him as you need to for who He really is. See Him clearly. You got to see Him as the unique one that He is. Let me say this last of all. You need to see Him with a real understanding. You need to have a real understanding. Well, what kind of understanding do I have? Well, first of all, you got to see Him like Peter did. You need to have the right answer to the question, whom do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter, why, man, big mouth Peter, foot in the mouth Peter. Peter that often spoke hastily and said some wrong things and made some bad decisions, that Peter. But this time Peter looked up and said, listen, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Woo-hoo. Hey, that's the right way to see Him. Over in John chapter number 6, if you remember that story, Jesus has a big group of people following Him, and then He begins to tell them in the latter part of John chapter 6, He begins to tell them that they've got to drink of His blood and they've got to eat of His flesh or they can't have any part with Him. And they said, all of them looked at and they said, this is a hard saying. We can't, what does that mean? We don't know what to do. We don't understand that. And it said, from that time, many of them turned back and followed Him no more. And Jesus turned around and He looked at His 12. And He said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thank God. Can I tell y'all something, friend? Hey, you got to see Him and have the right answer when those questions come up. Do you know who He is? First of all, you got to have the right answer. And Peter did when he said, the Son of the living God. He hit every bit of it, didn't he? We believe you're the Christ. We believe you're the Son of God. And we believe you're the living Son of God. Amen? Every bit of it. And aren't you glad Jesus told those folks, he said, told John out on the Isle of Patmos, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen? Thank God I'm glad I got a living Savior. I ain't got some little old something you put on a shelf or something you stick on the dash of your car or something that hangs in a picture or some sort of ornamentation on the wall somewhere. I've got a living Savior. Amen. Thank God for that. You got to have the right answer as was given here by Peter. Second of all, I want you to realize that this answer is revealed by the Father above. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Jesus said, you should rejoice in what you said, Peter. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I want to tell you something. This is not something you won't pick up a cereal box and read this on the back of it. This ain't on the inside of one of them little bubblegum wrappers. Let me tell you, you're not going to go down to a Chinese restaurant, break open a fortune cookie, and it's going to tell you this. This is something that is spiritually discerned. It is something that is spiritually given. It's not something that you outside. It's not something you and I come up with. It's not something you and I say, oh, well, I figured this out. It is. Jesus said, look, my Father in heaven has revealed this. It's not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood will never figure it out. Flesh and blood is condemned. Flesh and blood ain't going to make it. Flesh and blood is going to go away. But thank God, the spiritual man, hey, the spiritual man is the one that gets the right answer. Amen. My Father has revealed that answer to you. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're lost, the only way to salvation is when God opens your eyes and you see you can't save yourself. There's nothing in you. There is nothing about you. Paul writes and says, there's none of us that are good. No, not one. Our righteousness, it says over in the Old Testament, our righteousness is as the filthy rags. We have no righteousness. We have no goodness. We have nothing to claim any merit within ourselves. It's all because of Jesus' name. Amen. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The songwriter says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Do you realize your righteousness is only because of His righteousness? That righteousness that you and I have, that biblical word for it is imputed. The idea behind imputation is this, that Jesus takes His righteousness, and because He is the embodiment of righteousness, He puts it onto my account and yours. Just like you went down to the bank, and some of you folks in here maybe got a lot of money. If you want to take it down there and put it on my account, praise God, that'll help, all right? But you know what Jesus said? Here's my righteousness, and I'm putting it over here on Steve's bank account. He's at zero. He ain't got none, but I'm giving him mine. And now, hey, I'm counted as righteous before God in heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did. Amen? Because of what Jesus did. Oh, listen, the righteousness of God, I'm telling you, it's revealed to us by the Heavenly Father. And then last of all, it is the rock-solid hope of our foundation. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 18. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, let me just help you out with that. I know Peter's name means rock or stone, but Jesus is not saying, on Peter, I'm building my church. No, sir. He was building it upon the statement that Peter made when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we're built on, the rock-solid assurance. You know when I'm not going to be saved? When Jesus gives up the throne in heaven. When the blood is taken away and no longer sufficient. When He decides that it just isn't going to work. When He decides any and all those things happen, I'll lose what I got in Him. But until then, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And so are you. Amen? Because let me tell you, those days will never happen. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the declaration of Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil may want to come and rock and shake and bring all he can with him, but there's nothing that'll shake the foundation when you're trusting in the eternal Christ. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the only thing that saves. Amen. Jesus is the only one that saves. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You're not getting there any other way. I don't care how good you are. Don't care how much money you got or how good your education, any of that. You've got to come, as the songwriter said, by the old crossroad or the way called straight. There's just one way. The pearly gate. Amen? I mean, there's just one way. You got to come claiming the blood of Christ as the cleansing for your sin and the person of Jesus as your righteousness. Brother Ronnie, if you would, come on to this time. We'll get ready to sing a song. And I don't know where you stand this morning, but I'm telling you, I want to see if you're connected, if you really know who Jesus is. Do you know who He is? Whom say ye that I am? Jesus asked that pointed question, and now it's at you. It's pointed to you. Who do you say Jesus is? I say He's my salvation. I say He's my rock. I say He's my Savior. I say He's the only one that's going to get me to heaven one of these days. Amen? I don't know about you. Let's stand, if you would, this morning.